بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue our discussion from our previous class. We're reading from the chapter at Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned about Babu Da'wat al-Walidain, and he mentioned that narration of Abi Hurayrah radiyallahu anhu, that there are three supplications that are responded to, no doubt. Meaning these three supplications, yani these individuals in these situations, their supplication will be responded to and Allah will answer them. And there's no doubt about that. And likewise we've seen that these three people in these three situations, they have something in common. And this is the reason why their supplication is answered. Who can remind us of those, of this now?
Because when you ask for it and you get in trouble, you always ask for it sincerely for Allah.
Uh-huh. Whenever somebody is in hardship, when somebody is in a bad situation, when somebody is realized how weak they are and how no one can help them except for Allah, at this time their heart truly is hoping for Allah to aid them and is truly relying and depending on Allah. And likewise, whenever they call on Him, they're truthful and they're focused and they're not thinking about the affairs of the dunya. And whenever the heart calls on Allah in this manner and the tongue coincides with that call and asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid them and to help them, and the likes like this, whenever one realizes his dire need and dependence upon Allah, at this time the supplication will not be rejected, inshaAllah. So the one who was oppressed, people are picking on him, people are beating him up, people are calling him names, people are being mean to him, rude to him, taking his money, taking his food, people are lying about him, and the likes like this. This person, whenever he calls on Allah, he calls with sincerity. And he realizes that no one can help him. And all of the people that turned out, they have oppressed him, or individuals are putting him down and oppressing him. They are oppressing him. And the likes like this, this person, he turns to Allah. He realized at this time that no one can help him. And that the only one who can protect him from the evil of those oppressors is the one who created them. And the one who had decreed these affairs to occur. So he flees to Allah Azza wa Jal with a sincere heart and hope and dependence and reliance and tawakkul. And this is the secret and the answer. And the fact that Allah will respond to him. And likewise, the one who's traveling, he's cut off from his family, he's cut off from his ties and from his wealth, he's cut off from his homeland and he's alone on his travels and on his journey. Like this, at the same time, this person, his heart, he is attached to Allah and he thinks of Allah sincerely. And he calls on Allah sincerely and truthfully. And he calls Allah with strong hope and trust and reliance. And this is the key for the acceptance of the supplication. And also the parent. Whenever the parent calls on Allah Azza wa Jalla on behalf of the child, this parent is very sincere and very hopeful. And the likes like this. But we've seen one thing that we should be aware of, and that the supplication of the parent is accepted for the child or against the child. Now, before we move on, I want to first discuss an issue that's very important for us to understand. And this is how the supplications are answered. This is with regards to how the supplications are answered. Because here, these three types of people, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about them? ثَلَاثُ دَعَوَاتٍ مُسْتَجَابَاتٌ لَهُنَّ مُسْتَجَابَاتُ لَهُنَّ لَا شَكَّ فِهِنَّ. There are three supplications that are responded to, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. These three people in these three situations. Likewise, there are other times. There are also times in the day, or there are times in life, and in the day, and throughout the day, or throughout the week, or throughout the year, and the likes. There are also other times whenever the supplication is answered. Whenever the supplication is answered. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned them, that they are sa'at mustajabat. And there are times whenever the answer, or excuse me, whenever the supplication is responded to. Who knows some of those times? On Yom Jumu'ah, at the end of the day, in the last hour of Jumu'ah after Asr. MashaAllah. Allahumma barik. Sahih. Other times. As-Sahar. As-Sahar. In the last third of the night, before the Fajr. Naam. And before the Fajr, the waqt is called waqt as-Sahar. Naam. The last third of the night. Also, the one who, whenever one is fasting. Naam. Even one wording of this narration. It's mentioned, this narration, as I mentioned yesterday, is narrated by more than one companion. And sometimes they would mention this also, the Sa'im. Hina yuftiru, whenever he breaks his fast. And also, the times whenever the supplication is answered is between every adhan and iqamah. Naam, between the every adhan and the iqamah, every day. This is the time for supplication. This is the time for supplication. And also whenever one is in sujood, this is a time that supplication should be is most likely to be answered. And also there are other times that have been mentioned, walillahi and hamd. So the issue now is, how is the supplication answered? Naam, how is the supplication answered? It's been narrated from Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, that he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and this hadith is the proof for the issue that we're discussing. What is the issue we're discussing? How the du'a is accepted? How the supplication is accepted? And if you notice this, what did I mention first? How are we studying this? How is it being presented? We're talking about a situation, we're talking about a mas'ala, and we're talking about an issue in the deen. I ask you the question, what do we want to learn? How is the supplication accepted? This is called a mas'ala. Mas'alatun fi deen. Naam, an issue in the deen. The plural of mas'ala is masail. Naam, a deen masail. There are different issues to study in the religion of Allah. From them, when is the supplication accepted? Taib, after that, what do we say? After that, we say, it has been narrated from Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said. This is the way that we learn. This is the path that is correct. You understand? There's a mas'ala and there's the dalil. Naam, there's the mas'ala and then there's the dalil. This is a point that we're making before we go into the actual issue. I want you to pay attention on the way that we're learning. The manhaj that we're following. And this is the way of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. يَذْكُرُونَ مَسَائِلْ مَقْرُونَ بِأَدِلَّتِهَا. That they mention the issues in the deen, and they coupled with the proofs. Coupled with the proofs. And the proof is not in the statement of so-and-so and so-and-so, or Sheikh so-and-so and so-and-so. That's not the proof. The proof is in the statement like this. It was narrated to Bukhari that it was narrated to him, that it was narrated to him that one of the companions said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Adalil hadathana hadathana. Hadathana sami'na. Naam, this is the way. So then we see here the mas'ala again. So we learn more than one thing we have to learn here. Because some people, Allahul Musta'an, you know where they get their deen from? Some of them get their deen from dreams. So you have to do this in the issue. If you do this, you're going to have this reward. You say, what's the proof? Where? Oh, I saw it in a dream. You saw it in a dream? SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. He saw it in the dream that there's a new ruling in the deen. There's a new ruling in the deen. You saw it in the dream. You know what that really means? That means that a ruling in the deen was revealed to him Prophet Muhammad didn't know about. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All of the Muslims in the world, and plus even the leader of them, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't know about this ruling, and Allah revealed it to this man in a dream. Or either the Prophet knew about it, but he didn't tell nobody, and this man, he found it in the dream. So this is a foul statement. This is a foul statement. The deen is not taken from dreams. The deen is not taken from dreams. Other people, they would say, why are you doing that, ya akhi? So I seen, I seen it on YouTube. Allahu Akbar. YouTube is not the proof. Huh? YouTube is not the proof. On YouTube, there are some good things to be to benefit from, and there are some bad things. In any case, the way to determine, how do we know who is along the right way? You follow his methodology. You look to him if he mentions an issue in the deen, and after that he mentioned a proof from the Quran and the Sunnah, and then he'll back that up, for example, with some statements of the companions. We'll say, oh, this, what is apparent now is he's upon a right path. Huh? He's upon a right path. And this is the methodology and this is the way. So therefore, we go back. What is the issue? How was the supplication accepted? It has been narrated from Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, marfu'an. What's that mean? That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا مِن مُسْلِمْ يَدْعُو بِدَعْوَةٍ لَيْسَ فِيهَا إِثْمٌ وَلَا قَطِيعَةُ رَحْمٍ وَلَا قَطِيعَةُ رَحِمٍ إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا إِحْدَى ثَلَاثٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there is no Muslim that calls on Allah, makes a supplication. A supplication that does not contain sin. He's not supplicating for something that is a sin or not permissible. And he's not supplicating for something that's going to cut off the ties of his kinship. No Muslim makes this supplication except that Allah will give him or respond to his supplication, and he will give him his supplication in three ways. In three ways. Except that Allah will give him his supplication in three ways. The first one, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imma an tu'ajjala lahu da'watuhu. Either his supplication will come to him any early, meaning it will come now in this life. He will get it. It will be hastened for him. Meaning he will get what he asks for. It will be hastened for him. He asks for something, it will come to him in this life. His supplication. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِمَّا أَنْ يُدَخِّرَهَا اللَّهُ لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Or else Allah will save that supplication for him in the hereafter. Meaning he will not answer him his supplication and give it to him in this life, but he will save it for him to give to him in the hereafter. To give to him in the hereafter. وَإِمَّا أَنْ يَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ مِنَ السُّوءِ مِثْلَهَا. Or else he will detour and take away some evil from that person that's similar or the likes thereof. He asks for some good for something, or he asks for some issue from the worldly life, or from issues from the deen, whatever he made his supplication. Either he's going to get it as he asked in this life, or else Allah will save that for him on the day of in the hereafter. Or else, instead of answering him directly, he will remove some harm from him that was going to befall him. And he will remove some harm from him that was going to befall him. So this is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions the supplication. After this, the companions, they said, if that's the case, قالوا إذا نكثير. The companions, they said, if that's the case, then we should make a whole lot of supplication. إذا نكثير. Qala an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu akthar. Allahu akthar. Either nukthir, then we should do a lot. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah, and Allah is a lot more. And he will respond a lot more. And he has a lot more than you could ask. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu akthar. Naam, what do we say about that hadith? Allahu akbar. Allah is the greatest. Huh? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith is narrated by Al-Imam Ahmad in Al-Musnad, and it has been authenticated by the ulama of hadith. So therefore, something that we should be aware of and that we should have knowledge about is how the supplication is accepted. Because some people, they make mistakes. And one of the greatest mistakes with regards to supplication is that they say, I made dua and it wasn't accepted. I made dua and there was no response. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said also in an authentic narration, يُسْتَجَابُ لِيَحَدِكُمْ مَا لَمْ يَعْجَلْ, that one of you will respond to, his supplication will be responded to so long as he does not hasten. Huh? And they said, well, what does that mean? To hasten. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that you would say, I made dua and it was not responded. I made dua and I did not find a response or an answer. So therefore, a believer, he makes dua and he knows that it will be answered either directly or else it will be safe for him in the hereafter, or else some evil will be removed from him. Will be removed from him. Some evil that was going to befall him will be removed from him, and he will be safe from that. And he will be safe from that. The issue here is sometimes we make dua for things, and sometimes we hope to obtain things in this life. And in reality, if we obtain them, it will be bad for us. Sometimes we don't know. Some things that if they occur, they could lead to something that's bad. Some people, they may think that this is a good issue and they'll make dua for it, but in reality, it could be a means for one's destruction. And from the mercy and the grace of Allah and His subtleness and kindness to His servant is that He will not answer that supplication, and He will turn that away from him, and He will turn him away from that. Sometimes somebody will be making dua for a particular issue, and it's something that they really want. But had they obtained that, it would be a means for them to fall into sin, or be a means for them to be tried in their deen, or to have calamities befall them in this life. And in reality, it would be better for them to not have what they asked for. Sometimes we want things and they're not good for us. And sometimes we like things and those things are not good for us. And sometimes we dislike things and those things are good for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about this in the Quran. Asa أن تكرهوا شيئا هو خير لكم. Naam, Allah also He mentioned, عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا هُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. Allah, He mentioned that maybe you love something and you like something and it's evil, it's not good for you. And maybe you dislike something but it's good for you. And Allah knows best and you do not know best. Allah, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Naam, so this is something that a believer, he follows the evidence in the text and he follows the proof in the Quran and the Sunnah, the understanding of the Salaf al-Salih, and this is where he stops. And all good is in that. And all good is in that. Okay, we still have one more issue to discuss. Babu da'wati al-walidaini. Naam, the supplication of the parents. We have an example. We have a wonderful example. And the example is of a mother. The example of a mother. We have an example. An example for what? Huh? An example of the supplication being accepted. We have an example, huh, from the Salaf al-Salih, of a mother who was sincere, and of a mother who made dua to Allah Azza wa Jal a lot with regards to her son, and Allah responded to her and answered her supplication. Who is this mother? She is the mother of Muhammad ibn Ismail. Who is Muhammad ibn Ismail? Muhammad ibn Ismail, he is a great, great, great scholar of hadith. He died in the year 256. Who do you guys know him? Muhammad ibn Ismail. Any of the students know this great scholar of hadith? Muhammad ibn Ismail? Al-Bukhari. Al-Bukhari himself, the author of the book that we are studying. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, whenever he was young, a little boy, he lost his eyesight and he was not able to see. Whenever he was a little boy, he lost his eyesight and he was not able to see. His mother, even before this, was very righteous. His mother was very righteous, and his father likewise. He was from a family of knowledge. His family was a family of knowledge. And his mother was a devout worshiper. And it hurt her much to see her child lose his eyesight and he was not able to see. So you know what she started doing? She started calling on Allah And she started begging Allah. And she started crying to Allah. For what? For Allah to return the eyesight of her son. For Allah to return the eyesight of her son. Huh? وَمَا يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ Who has the authority and command over the eyesight?
Allah.
Allah, nobody else. If the eyesight goes away, no one can return it except for Allah. The fact that we can see is a great blessing from Allah. We have to take advantage of that and show thanks for that. Take advantage of your eyes and look at that which is good. Huh? And look at that which is permissible and beloved to Allah. And look at the Quran and look at the Hadith and the likes like this. Look at the affairs that are allowed and permissible and pleasing to Allah, and not look at those things that are not pleasing. Now look at those things on YouTube and those things on the filthy websites and the things of corruption and evil. And we have to be very careful about the books that we read and with our eyes, because the people today, they put in evil inside those books and they hide them. Yudassuna sumum inside the books, and they decorate it. It's falsehood, whether it's the worst of all falsehood, but they decorate it and they make it seem beautiful. And it just recently come to me that there are books that the children are using in homeschool. You know what they say in the books, teaching the young children? It says, you have two choices here. It's gonna mention some things from the creation. You want to point to each thing, and you're gonna either say that man created it or nature created it. It's gonna show a house, and then you're supposed to say man created it or nature created it. It's gonna show the sun, and you're supposed to say man created it or nature created it. So then whenever you go to the sun, what do they say? What do they say in the book? Nature created it. You know what this is? This is called ilhad. This is called ilhad. This is atheism. They say nature created because they don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in a creator. They don't believe in a creator. They don't believe in the meaning of Allah. They don't believe in the messengers of Allah. They say nature created it. Nature created it. Where'd nature come from? They have a whole other story for that one too. Huh? But somebody who doesn't know Tawheed, he might see that, oh yeah, nature created the sun, nature created the trees. Mother nature, that's what they call it, mother nature. This is atheism. Huh? This is the worst of all. This is the worst, to disbelieve in the creator entirely and to claim that there's no creator. Somebody was created in the belly from blood in that manner that we have discussed before, and then they came out, and then they can't even move, they can't do anything, and then all of a sudden their tongue gets strong enough and their lips become big enough they can talk, and then after that they say that nobody created me with their tongues after they were in a belly and they came from what they came from and they went through what they went through, and then whenever their tongues are able to speak they say that I don't have a creator. Yeah, mother nature. Allahu al-musta'an. So the eyesight, it's very beneficial. And it's a blessing from Allah. We have to use it in what Allah has allowed us. And this is the way that we show thanks with the eyesight. Likewise the hearing. Back to Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail. His mother made dua for him so much, and she cried. And she cried asking Allah to return her son's eyesight. Do you know what happened one night when she was sleeping? She had a dream. In her dream, you know what she saw? She saw Ibrahim. An-Nabi, Ibrahim. The Prophet Ibrahim came to her and he said to her, Ya Hadi, Raddallahu Basara Ibnaki. She had a dream, and Ibrahim came to her in her dream and he said, this woman, he said, Allah has returned your son's eyesight. Huh? Why? Bibukaiki in Allah. Because of your crying to Allah. Because of your tears that you cried to Allah, Allah returned your son's eyesight. You know what she did? She woke up. She's like, whoa. And she went, and you know what she saw? In reality, it was true. It was true. Her son's eyesight had come back. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he was able to see. Now he was able to see. Sometimes somebody will have a dream, and the dream will be a beneficial and beautiful dream. This is glad tidings for the believers. Sometimes a believer will have a dream and it's not good. This one is from shaitan. He doesn't pay attention to it. Other times, well, a person will have a dream and it's just something that he was thinking about in the daytime. Likewise, he doesn't pay attention to it. In any case, if somebody has a dream and he sees something that's good or bad, he does not base a ruling on that. He does not base a ruling on that and act upon that. Rather, sometimes glad tidings come in the dreams of the righteous. They'll see something in their dream and then it'll be a glad tiding for them. And even possibly it will occur. Even possibly it will occur like this. But no one will make a ruling based upon that. Somebody would say, I saw it in the dream that I have to go to so-and-so and give them some food, and then Allah would be pleased with me, or I have to go do this, or I have to go do that. No, you don't do anything that you saw in a dream. You don't base your actions because of something that we saw in the dream. The ahkam al-shar'iyyah do not come from what we saw in dreams. Rather, dreams are glad tidings for the righteous. Or also, they could be warnings as well. Warnings. Naam. And also, they could be just from tricks of shaitan, and shaitan disturbing the people. We don't pay attention to them, nor do we narrate them. Or they could just be some silly dreams that we were, because of our mind thinking in the daytime, we're thinking about something, so then we see something like that. Somebody who's all day long thinking about cats, then they see some cats in their dream, like this. Huh? Some silly stuff, like that. Adghath al-Ahram. In any case, at Imam Bukhari, he lost his eyesight. His mother made dua for him and dua for him, and she didn't give up. And she continued, and she would cry to Allah. And Allah returned his eyesight. You know what was mentioned about Bukhari? That he authored Sahih Bukhari. I forget now, either Sahih Bukhari or Tariq al-Kabir. He has another book, a great book called Tariq al-Kabir. One of the very, very, very first books with regards to the mention of the biographies of the narrators. And who they are. And whether you can take from them or not. A great, great, great book. Huh? And I forget either that book or another book that he authored that book, huh? Out in the masjid at nighttime. In the Prophet's masjid at nighttime. Huh? By the light of the moon. After not having any eyesight, after that he's writing books at nighttime using the moonlight to write. Falliyali al muqmara is what it came in his tarjima. Huh? Allahu Akbar. So not only did his eyesight come back, but it came back strong. It came back strong. So we see the benefit of this, naam, and that we make dua for our children. May Allah guide our children and the children of the believers, and may Allah protect them from evil and from every fitna, from every shaitan, and from every misguided person. May Allah rectify their condition and guide their hearts to al-Islam and grant them certainty and yaqeen, and make them beneficial for the Ummah Muhammad. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.